Good morning. Today is Monday, March the 22nd. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Jack of all trades.
I guess you could say that.
All right. But his name isn't Jack. It's Tom Matson. Yeah, you still recovering from not having to deal with the airport? You have that hole in your life?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Cody's doing a good job. I'm good.
Good. Tom's in charge of the parks.
The roads. Bridges,
culverts, et cetera. Yeah, levees. I guess we're going to have to touch on that one, too. Ever wonder why, sir? I'm going to give you an easy one. This is only two sentences. LB is used to represent pound.
Well, I will have to take off my talking mask and put on my thinking mask, but no, I don't.
No idea, huh? Oh, you have a mask on. Oh. I'll tell you about a video I saw this morning in a sec. Like much of our language, this comes from Latin. It's a contraction for libra, the Latin word for pound.
Well, I should have known that.
L-I-B-R-A.
Since I am a Libra, I probably should have known that.
There you go. Well, now you won't forget it.
Now I know why I'm the scales. It's a pound.
Yeah. Look, I'm 25 Libra. Thanks. What? Oh, I saw a video a couple days ago, and guy, in a mask, and they were saying, put on a mask. I did. Sir, we need you to put on a mask. Well, I did. After about four times, you could tell the other person was getting aggravated.
Yep.
The mask was a picture of his face wearing a mask, but below the mouth.
Oh.
So, yeah, I thought there were a couple of my buds there that might really appreciate that one. It didn't say where he got it, though. Sorry.
You know, that's kind of a pet peeve. If you're not going to wear the mask appropriately, why wear it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes or no.
Exactly. That's black and white.
Have you guys, as your team, had any issues with either people wearing masks, not wearing masks, needing to get the shots, not getting the shots?
Well, Public Works is...
Because you're outside a lot.
Well, but we deal with a lot of public interaction, especially with our parks people. Our building maintenance custodians have to clean up after everybody. So we really want to get them vaccinated as soon as possible. People like me that just sit in the back of the office, it's not as urgent, even though we still want to get our vaccinations. We've had some when there was a vaccine place that didn't have enough people. They called, and we were able to get some of our people in.
Do you guys have anybody available? We got some space this
afternoon. Exactly. So we were able to jump on that. We did provide a list of people to Public Health and OES that are ready and willing to take the vaccine and their contacts immediately if something like that came up again. But right now, I don't know where all the fear phases and tiers are, but I think we're phase B, tier one, something like that. But we're just waiting like everybody else. We're just hoping we don't get it and waiting our turn.
Set hike.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that you guys have got the maintenance crews, I would think that that's got to be kind of sort of almost right there with the folks in the hospitals.
Well, it's...
Because there's so many different points of contact.
It's no different than, you know, people that have to work in the grocery stores. They have to deal with random members of the public that may or may not be infected on a regular basis. And those people I really, really want to have vaccinated first before the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting that grocery... finally was recognized and they got moved up.
They've been on the front line since day one.
Yeah,
and
always there.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, it's some of those little surprises, you know, kind of
exactly.
Working through. A lot of folks have been able to benefit or have found better ways or more efficient ways to do the job.
Oh, yeah.
During the last 12 months. Do you guys have any opportunities in that arena? Because you're not to the same level of exposure that other departments are. Your front counter is pretty limited.
Yeah, and, you know, you need to knock to get in, and we don't really have a lot of people coming in and out of our office. Our office that really interacts with people is our land use division, but they're over at the planning and building building, so it's a different setup. So, you know, they have to deal with the public a lot more than normal public works. We really don't get a lot of people just walking in our counter and saying, how are the roads doing today?
Or hanging out and watching everybody play with tobacco.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah.
When I was growing up, that was always kind of fun, but during the day now.
I still enjoy watching heavy equipment.
It hasn't lost its luster, huh?
Oh, no. If it can push dirt, I like it.
Yeah. Boy, and there seems to be a fair amount of dirt to push anymore, doesn't there?
Oh.
Just with all this.
And where you got to push it to and all the rules and regulations to get it there. It's.
Yeah. Have you had to get more pickup trucks or dump trucks, I guess?
No, it's really... Over the years, we've really had to refine what we do with our excess soil, making sure that it doesn't erode. We get calls all the time when we don't properly take care of it, cover it with hay and put, you know, wattles down around it.
But that's like on a cut, right?
No, this is, we get hundreds, if not thousands, of yards of slide material every year that comes down onto the road that we have to find a place to put.
Can you screed it or something and sell it off, or make it available as clean fill?
Most of it is not really good material. Okay. We do, it's to the quantity where we're not going to get rid of it by the pickup load if people wanted it. But we do have a lot of property owners that want fill on their property.
Some of the contractors and developers and guys that have roads.
They get the permits. You know, they've got the right permits so we can bring it in and put it on their property.
Oh, cool. So you guys will deliver.
Generally, yeah. We have to put it somewhere. We can't leave it on the road.
How about landscape rock? You guys in that one too?
If it's usable rock, we're using it for the road.
You gotta hold on to that one, huh?
Yeah, we crush lots of rock every year. We crush probably 25,000 yards of rock every year just for road operations.
With this budget that the governor is talking about and pushing back some of that to the local jurisdictions, you gonna have any more bucks to be able to do some of that paving work?
Oh, sort of. When I hear pushing back from the state, that means here's more responsibilities with no money.
Okay.
I'm not seeing any money from what he's saying in addition to what we're already getting for roads.
What's the situation with gas tax? Is it up, down,
flat? It's gone up a little bit since the early months. The first 3 months of COVID, were the gas tax took a huge dive. It's come back up, it's slow and steady. It's not where it was supposed to be at this time, but we weren't supposed to have COVID for a year either. So,
well, from what we keep hearing about the travel and leisure business, you're going to make it up really quick here in about a month and a half.
I kind of hope so. Those folks need some real relief.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Public Works Director for the County of Humboldt, Tom Mattson. Tom, some of the different challenges that are out there, you got the work guys, you've got the COVID stuff you have to worry about. Normally, this is kind of, if the weather's okay, construction. You kind of start being able to do some of the preliminary stuff. Are you able to start to do some of the preliminary stuff yet?
Oh, yeah. Other people are all at work. And this is, the perfect time of the year to start getting ready. It's usually mid-April before we really start opening up the earth, unless we have to. But it's time to start prepping things, is make sure all the equipment is ready for the summer run, lining out the projects that we're going to try to get through, figuring out what our budget's going to be. We have Measure Z applications in, so we don't know if we're going to be able to do that work or not until they approve the money or not. So it's that time of getting everything in order. We've got lots lots of projects going out to bid. I think I have about $35 million in projects going out to bid for this summer.
Is that a lot? A little?
For us, it's a lot. I mean, usually $20 million would be a pretty good year. But, you know, it's a good thing that we're putting out that much money. It's a bad thing because majority of that is 2017 and 2019 storm damage projects.
So we don't get a smile. It isn't something new. It's just fixing old.
Yeah. No, we will be pushing hard. We've got a cooperative project with the city of Eureka to repave Harrison in front of the hospitals, that entire street,
Probably don't get even a sitting O too often. So
well, no, that's actually good. And,
yeah, okay.
And for people who don't know, some of the jurisdiction boundaries are weird. The jurisdiction boundary on Harrison between the city and the county is right down the middle of the street.
About as screwy as you can get.
So half the street is the city's and half the street is the county's. Luckily, we work well together and we've got plans for cooperative work.
Yeah, it could be worse. You could be responsible for 14th.
I've got enough roads that make 14th look good.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
So if you got $35 million and that's a roughly 50 or 60% increase, does that mean more projects or does that mean same number of projects but they're just that much more significant and costly?
Well, we have multiple projects over the $1 million range. You know, we generally, most of our projects that we take care of are, you know, a couple, $300,000 for a culvert there. But a bridge can be millions. A lot of our storm damage sites are several $1 million a pop.
You wrestling another bridge?
Well, we've got the Honeydew Bridge replacement coming through. We've got two new bridges over the Ill River, one at Holmes, one at McCann, that'll be coming forward in the next few years. Bridges take a long time. That's, you know, they're basically when you start them to when you finish, easily a 10-year project.
Is that the permitting process that goes in the environmental reports, well, or is that the actual do and the do?
It's the permitting, it's the funding, it's all the design work. And then when you go to construction, it actually goes pretty quick. Although a bridge can take multiple seasons, it generally, at this point in time, it takes a lot longer to get to construction than actually do the construction.
Just because of all the prep that's necessary?
All the prep and then lining up all the funding sources that all have to come into play at the same time. And with bridge projects, especially expensive bridge projects, we have to front load the money because the state will only pay us back a certain amount every year over time.
Oh, is it prorated payback?
Well, it's not prorated. It's just they don't have enough money for all the demand and all the bridges that are moving forward. So they make us come up with financing plans so they can spread the money around.
So the county gets to pay the finance fees.
Actually, we can charge the financing to the project because it's a qualifiable reimbursement.
Oh, okay. So,
it helps the states and the feds manage their money. But again, we do have to front load it. So,
well, I'm thinking with all the surplus we keep hearing about in California, you'd think that that would be unnecessary.
I don't know that I've ever seen any surplus go to roads.
Really?
We got the gas tax. We got SB1. We've had a couple of bonds.
Caltrans just doesn't even just kind of get...
Well, Caltrans and local agencies split the gas tax. They get way more than local agencies, but that's their basic funding as well. And then, again, they go for this federal funding sources just as we do.
Okay, so everybody's kind of doing the same battle.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's... There's a very finite pot of money for a very, very beyond finite demand.
Oh, I thought it was an infinite demand.
Yeah, you could say that.
So with the bridges, is there a regular replacement schedule for those things, or is it just kind of as needed?
It's really based on their structural rating. Once they get to a certain point, they qualify for state and federal funding. We also get federal funding through the state specifically for preventative maintenance on bridges to make them last longer, which is a really, really good program.
So what do you do to keep a bridge longer?
Scour protection, make sure everything's not rusting underneath, that the concrete, when it starts to spall and get to the rebar, so the rebar rusts, that you're doing all the treatments, surface treatments, methacrylate on the top of the surface to
so
keep
it. So you can kind of reseal it?
Exactly. So there is specific funding to maintain bridges. Again, it's not nearly enough, but it is there, and it's a big, big help.
When we see the bridges on 101, and then we hear about the bridges in the county and some of the rural settings, is that a different breed of what we see on 101 than we would see driving across one of the county installed bridges?
It really depends on the nature of the bridge when the bridge went in. We all kind of build to the same standards, but you'll see much wider bridges on the state highways. A lot of our bridges, and, you know, there was a rumor I heard when I first started that in order to increase the number of bridges the county built, they would build them 10% short and shove the dirt out into the river to make it the other 10%. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you got to be creative, and you got to design for the traffic on the road, and the highways get a lot more traffic than the county roads.
Sure. Well, and you want to stay legal, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Director Tom Manson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, the REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Tom, I heard an interesting rumor I picked up a couple weeks ago that the county still hasn't approved the budget from 2020.
Are you talking about closing the books?
Yeah.
The budget is approved in July.
Right, but yeah, wrapping up.
Yeah, wrapping up the old. Yeah, that's still true. We're just closing it.
Okay.
So they just took the 2019 outside audit to the board. So now they're working on closing 2020.
What is it? God and government move in strange and mysterious ways. Go ahead. You don't have to comment.
Everything in life moves in strange and mysterious ways. Okay.
Oh, you mentioned levees in the intro. We've got one that's out here. Kind of gets our attention every once in a while.
Yep.
There was a big harangue, what was it, 15, 20 years ago? When, I'm thinking Jacobs Avenue specifically, that it was starting to fail and the property owners were going to have to be spending and the repair was worth more than what the property was and people sold, people moved, that kind of stuff. Just as one microcosm of one of the levees. Overall, do the levees in Humboldt County get the proper attention?
Infrastructure in the United States is no different than infrastructure in Humboldt County. None of it gets the attention it needs. We do the best we can with the resources we have. The county doesn't have all the levees. They're broke out all over the place between different owners. You know, the Jacobs Avenue is perfect. It's the property owners. It's not the county.
It always has been.
Yeah. The county has Redwood Creek levee in Oreck, the Blue Lake levee in Blue Lake, and the Sandy Prairie levee that protects Fortuna. Those are the three that the county maintains. And, you know, we have to check them every time there's a high flow. Every summer we do a check.
So, how do you just look for holes?
Yeah, you look for holes. You look for people that are living there digging into the levee. We've had that issue. But mainly it's make sure we check that the rock protection is still there, that it's solid, that, you know, the trees are cut down so there's not a lot of tree roots coming through the levee to create leakage holes.
They'll push it.
They'll pop a hole in a flash, and then bye-bye goes levee. And so, we do inspect them on a regular basis. And, you know, in crisis situations, the Army Corps does step up to help. And so if we were to have, you know, a breach situation or something else, the Army Corps would come up and help with flood fighting and things like that. So
I would think that would have to be worst case scenario.
Yes, it is.
I mean, to take people off of wherever they are to deal with something like that that was kind of squirrely and... Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, you don't want to put concrete on these things.
No.
Because that's not going to work long. You just kind of put more material on if they start to fail?
We use a lot of big rock. Big rock is good for protection everywhere.
Like the ones we have out on the jetties?
Yeah. And you can see those right now. They're rebuilding the South Jetty. You see those trucks going through town with two rocks on them. Yeah. Those are 4-ton-plus rocks.
Those are not landscape
material. Those are not landscape material. Those are protection material. And we like big rock. Engineers like big rock.
Why? Versus the dolos. What's the difference?
The dolos were an engineering design. When you have the quality big rock that we do, you can use that. But that really goes back to the original design of the jetty and what the designers wanted to do. And the dolos work rather well, but they are not cheap to make. I mean, it's a construction process out of concrete.
How many kids are not able to play Tiddlywinks or Jacks because of that? You know, just one, right?
Yeah. I would like you to see you try to play jacks with a dolo.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with that family.
No, no. That's called Chinook helicopter.
Yeah. Now, occasionally we'll see cement chunks in there too.
Yeah.
Mixed in. Whether is it old road? Is it old sidewalks? Is it somewhere where you can put that stuff? Does that add to the cohesiveness of everything? Where does the cement chunks come from?
A lot of the cement chunks are just basically old sidewalks, old things. I mean, I built a road up the landfill out of the work they did when they were reinforcing the Samoa bridges. They hauled all the concrete. We broke it up into little pieces and built a mile-long access road. Concrete has a lot of use and reuse possibilities. And so, you can't just have big rock. You've got to fill in the voids as well. And so you use whatever you can, for the county's perspective, whatever we can find that we can make work, we're going to use.
Soil that doesn't go into the clean fill for somebody.
Well, soil, no. Well, I'm talking rock here.
Right.
Gravel.
Well, I mean, will you go down into a small couple inch size to kind of really lock everything in, or?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But, a lot of our roads will have 4 or 6 inch rock to build the base, and then we come up with aggregate, a lot smaller crushed rock to fill in all the voids and hold it together, and the bigger rock is actually providing the structure for you to ride on, and the smaller rock is providing a smoother surface for to ride on when we can get to grading it.
So it doesn't look like Harrison and 14th.
It's the old washboard
when
effect.
When it's done, baby, it's done.
You get the washboard effect on a gravel road, and it is just horrible to drive on.
Well, like those little grooves that they cut in on 101 north of Santa Rosa. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Tom Madsen. Tom, we're kind of moving from levees to the seasonal stuff. Traffic safety, we see the cone thing. Most times when we think traffic safety, it's like last chance grade. We're focusing on weans inside the rig, not they outside the rig. Are people paying a little bit more attention, particularly now since there's not as much driving going on?
Well, unfortunately, traffic fatalities in California went up almost 8% last year, even with less driving. And so the mayor of Eureka has pulled together a traffic safety committee task force to look at coming up with some educational messaging that we can get out and start to try to remind people of the basics of driving. you know, there's...
Look both ways.
Look both ways. You know, look before you cross. Watch out for pedestrians.
The real fundamental.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're in a, you know, Eureka, you get people that are, you know, walking across the roads. And, yeah, maybe they're in the wrong, but you're the one in the vehicle that's 2,000 or 3,000 pounds. So you need to be ready for that. You know, and it just fundamental things. Eureka has a pretty poor traffic safety record because of all the traffic. They actually get ranked based on their population, even though their daytime population is probably double the regular population. So that does skew their ranking a bit.
But nonetheless, if that's where a lot of issues are happening.
And, you know, there's a lot of concern. You know, we have the Slow F Street group that's working strongly to calm traffic down on F Street.
Do got to appreciate the signs, though.
They're good. That group has...
A little creativeness there, yeah.
You know, that was a grassroots action from the people that are affected. And I've got nothing but respect for what they're doing out there, and we're trying our best to do what we can on our end.
Well,
but it takes all of us in traffic safety. Every time you get behind that wheel in a car, you need to really be paying attention to what you're doing, because you're driving a 3,000-pound vehicle, and there may be a 150- or 200-pound person out there that has no protection.
Or a 40-pounder.
Yeah, well, if you look at it.
The young ones.
If you're playing football and you're running into each other, just human on human, you got all these pads and these helmets and everything else. A pedestrian doesn't. They have no armor. And so it's behooving on all the drivers to be really, really paying attention and not texting.
And conversely, if you're walking, black on black is probably not the best wardrobe decision you can make.
Well, there's an old saying, wear white at night. And that's a good saying. You know, wear brighter colors, reflective colors. You can get reflective vests very, very cheap. You know, you want to be seen if you're a non-motorized person out on the roads at night. You don't want to just pop up on somebody's bumper because they didn't see you.
Yeah, the surprise look is not one.
No.
You don't want to go for that for
a
moment.
It goes both ways. But again, you go back to the driver, who is the 3,000-pound vehicle, really needs to be paying attention.
Well, and I would think also, you know, maybe it's an age thing. Yeah, I look at the speed limits now and just, okay, fine, and we'll back it down. Earlier, yeah, okay, not inside the city, but out on the highway.
Yeah.
65 is really, what, 72?
68.
But now, you know, it's like, okay, so what is the difference? If you logically look at it, Arnie Millsap, when he was police chief, said this one, Myrtle and West, right? One of those ugly intersections should never have been designed that way. So if you miss a cycle, it's 2.5 to 3 minutes.
Yep.
It's like, okay, so is it worth busting through as it's turning red for 2.5 minutes?
No.
Even if it's 1 out of every 1,000 times, it's not, there's an issue. It's not worth it.
It's not worth your life or anyone else's.
Just relax. Or just a fender bender.
Exactly.
Just take it a little bit easy.
Exactly. Slow down. Pay attention.
So is that an age thing?
The youth tend to have a lot of aggressive driving and speeding issues. The 18 to 24-year-old group specifically. You know, we do, I think most of us calm down a little bit when we get older. Some don't, but most of us do.
It's called relaxing.
Relaxing and understanding that the end of the world isn't going to come if I'm not if I'm a minute late.
Or answer that text or cell phone call.
That thing should go in the trunk or be turned off the minute you get in your car.
Thanks for coming by, Tom.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.